Welcome to KJV Cafe. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen. Each episode of the cafe is dedicated to studying the Bible verse by verse from Genesis through Revelation. Your host here at the cafe is Bible teacher Clark Covington. Looks like the coffee is hot and ready, so let's get started.
Amen. Glory to God. Welcome to the program. Welcome to the cafe. Pastor Clark Covington here with another episode of KJV Cafe. So good to be back with you. We are wrapping up Genesis 4 here. We are in Genesis 4, 23 and 24 today. And then next episode, we're going to tackle 25 and 26. And then we'll be done with Genesis 4. So we are moving right along. I thank you so much for listening. If you haven't already, look us up on your favorite podcast app. We're also on YouTube and Facebook. We have a page as well. So look us up, and I just thank you so much for joining us as we go through the Bible together. And we are in Genesis 4 talking about Cain and Abel. And, you know, every time we talk about Cain and Abel, every time we talk about Adam and Eve creation, there's so much like left on the table. There's so much more that could be discussed. And so, yeah, I mean, it's just like, I mean, literally we're 80 some episodes on these four chapters, and there's so much, again, left on the table. There's God's word is a living word, you know, and I believe anyone that really loves the Lord, loves his word, would also agree that you can't exhaust it. You know, you can't like study it to the point where you know everything. When I was in grad school, some of the more studious people in my class would meet at the library to study for, you know, comprehensive exams or whatever. And I would go in there for like an hour, and I with a straight face, I would look at them and say, "Guys, look, we don't want to overstudy. We should just go. We should go get something to eat, you know." And they'd be like, "Overstudy? What does that even mean?" I'm like, "We don't want to know this stuff too well. Look, I got by. Okay, they let me out. But I got the degree. All right, finished. I was not going to say record time, but finished and all that stuff. But you can't overstudy the Bible. It is just truly inexhaustible." And there's so many lessons here. So that's why we're tackling 23 and 24 again of Genesis 4. "And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech." Hear my voice. Hearken. Like, what kind of marriages are these? You know, like, you know, if I tell my wife Sue something, I don't say, "Sue, hear my voice. Hearken unto my speech." Yeah, I just, "Honey, you know, can you hear me?" And then sometimes she'll just wave me off if she's on a call or something, but I'll, you know, for work, because she works from home. But otherwise, she'll just look at me like, "Yes." If I said, "Hear my voice, hearken unto my," she'd say, "Get out of here." Here is that relationship, though. He's got to call their attention, you know. Probably didn't like him too much, but that's another thing. "Hearken unto my speech, for I've slain a man to my wounding, a young man to my hurt." "If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold." And so we see here Lamech wants protection from God that we saw already given. God gave to Cain out of his mercy, because Cain was terrified after he killed Abel. In verse 15, "The Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." That's verse 15 in Genesis 4. God sets a mark. Says, don't touch him, right? He will die, but he's not going to die by murderous man, even though he was a murderer. And now we have another murderer, and whether it's out of guilt or frustration, whether it's out of pride, arrogance, probably all of these things, Lamech is saying, you know, give me 10x the protection in verse 24 of Genesis 4. So we're going to touch on this kind of attitude before God, what it means for us, right when we come back from this break.
You're listening to KJV Cafe. We encourage you to look us up on your favorite podcast app and subscribe to our channel on YouTube. Now let's get back to some more in-depth Bible study.
Genesis 4 here, we see a very, I don't know how to say it, just sinful, awful way about this individual. We don't know what the conflict was between Lamech and this individual that he killed. We know that he was a young person, and it was to his hurt. You know, We need to understand that God is good. We need to understand that, you know what? The New Testament tells us, Matthew 5:39, but I say unto you, Jesus Christ saying, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. That we are to have a way about us, right, that is loving and caring, that is forgiving, not braggadocious, amen. We should live in a way that we are not being retaliatory or getting vengeance. We are to choose righteousness over worldly pursuits and over vain pursuits. You know, not only did this individual, just four generations removed from Cain, not only did he heal someone, but he bragged about it. Christ is our righteousness. And today, think of this, the application for today. Do you want to take justice into your own hands and then proclaim to someone in your family that God should put protection over you? Is that how godly protection works? Are you to just, you know, name it and claim it? No. You see, when we live our way, as Cain did, ironically, we become vagabonds. We become outcasts to God. When we say, God, my will, not thy will, we are putting pride and trust in ourselves and not him. And what happens is we are separated from him. Sin separates from God. And that is the lesson of Cain killing Abel. And that is the punishment that Cain received. And God had to drive Cain out of the land, just like he had to drive Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. That idea of driving someone out is they're not willfully going, amen? And this is what happens when we live sinfully. Because when we live, you see, you notice the progression here. Lamech, he does something bad. He says he wants God's protection. He proclaims it to his wives in a big fashion, if you will. And then we don't see him much more again. We look at the genealogies. We look at the charts and what happened to him? Yeah, I'm not much. Not much. There were these kids that made these instruments and cattle work and bronze work. And after that, there was a flood that wiped them out, and they are no more. And so when man chooses their own way, it is a literal dead end. When you choose your own way in life, when you forsake the ways of God, okay, we've been talking a lot about timelines, and you say, you know what, it's more convenient for me to just go along with evolution. I'll get along with everybody at work or at school. When you do stuff like that, you are literally walking down a road to nowhere that ends abruptly. And what is the opposite of that? Faith. The opposite of that is having faith in God. Amen. Having faith in who he is. Being justified by God. You know, you can see in the Old Testament, you can see even in Genesis, characters that had faith, like of Joseph in jail, imprisoned wrongly for something he never did, for in fact, being righteous before God. But he had faith and God delivered him. Abraham was called into a land he'd never even heard of. And there was a famine when they got there, but there was faith. He believed God. He's arguing with Lot. What happens? He says, Lot, you take the good land. You know, he was the older one. He could have been spiteful. He could have said, look, I'm the older one. I'm getting this premium land and you get my leftovers, right? But instead he was being selfless instead of selfish. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The justification through faith. Justification through faith. I mean, think about it. When we have faith in God, what are we? We are obedient to God. And when we're obedient to God, he blesses us in our walk with him, even if it's not easy. Don't confuse blessings with ease, okay? But he blesses us, right? You know, the Bible speaks a lot about going through the fire, being tried in the fire, and that's how we become perfect, not wanting anything. I'm reading Hebrews right now in my evening study, and in Hebrews, it's talking about how Jesus Christ had to go through temptations and hardship so that he was perfect in obedience, and he was shaped and understands man better than anyone could understand man because he went through it. So not ease, but as we walk with God, we are blessed by God, and as we see those blessings, we give praise to God. And as we give praise to God, we are living as he intends us to live. And it fuels, I believe, greater obedience. I mean, think about it. If you're praising God every day, if you're too busy praising God every day, if you're too busy being obedient to God every day, then you don't have time to fall into this wicked sin. And conversely, if you're yoked up with sin in your life, you'll be miserable. As I mentioned recently, the best weapon to fight a spiritual battle is to be in God's word. And the question is, are we seeing the fruit of God's word in Lamech's life? No. And you're saying, well, he didn't have the Bible back then. Yeah, he had better than the Bible. He had like firsthand account. Okay. He had people that had seen God, that had talked to God, that you know, had presumably been able to explain the Garden of Eden. You know, he had that. And yet he was living wickedly. He was living sinfully. He's living vengefully. And that right there is an example of unbelief. Because if you have belief, and if you believe God is who he says he is, you would never, ever pronounce or get up and puff your chest up and say, let me be avenged 70-fold if anybody were to touch me. That is just hubris. That is just pride getting in the way. What is faith? Hebrews 11, 1 through 7. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's why it takes belief. For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. And we see here with Abel being killed, that it's kind of poetic or ironic or whatever you want to say, that Abel's righteousness is still speaking out to these generations. Surely, maybe Lamech thought of Abel being righteous and being killed for his righteousness, and Cain living and being given long life, and kind of reconciling those things, saying, you know what, there's probably more to what I can than what I can see. There's probably more to this life than what I can see. Because what I can see was formed by what I can't see. But regardless of any kind of intellectual notion, what we see in the scriptures is he didn't adhere to that. That he was a killer just like Cain's a killer. And that he was, blasphemous or just boastful in front of God. In front of God. We spent an episode recently looking at Psalm 139 about how God is ever present. And I love how David unpacks this idea of being ever present. You know, there's nothing God doesn't see. And so surely he sees this boast. Surely this boast makes it into God's word intentionally as a warning for us that we should never be boastful in our sin, that we should never think that, you know what, one day here he is boastful and the next day his family line comes to an end and everything comes to an end. It's kind of like the king that came up against Hezekiah, right? And wrote that letter to Hezekiah. Sennacherib, king of Assyria, in verse 14 of 2 Kings 19, and Hezekiah received a letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel, which dwells between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. 2 Kings 19:35, and it came to pass that night, the angel of the Lord went out and smote in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000. And when they arose early in the morning, behold, they were all dead corpses. That's 185,000 the angel of the Lord smote, because Hezekiah spread that letter before God when the king of Assyria was telling him and boasting to him, amen, of his power. God said, I don't think so. 185,000 dead. And then he lets that king go back to his pagan temple and his own kids kill him as he's worshiping in his pagan temple. God is not mocked. God's in full control. Trust the Lord. Seek him. Never be prideful. Repent if you are. Get right with God. Tune in next time. Take care. God bless and amen.
Thanks for spending time with us today at the cafe. We would love to hear from you. You can email Brother Clark directly at clark@enduringpromise.org. See you again tomorrow. Same time, same place.